It's a very humbling thing to come before God in His great majesty, isn't it? To realize how awesome God is, how amazing He is, to have such humility to look upon us with care and concern, with love, to realize how much He wants to share His life with us, to realize what it is when He says, come and be baptized into My name, be part of the family of God. It's an amazing thing to be a child of God, isn't it? Jesus came to give us the right to be the children of God. Well, if you haven't joined us before, I have to apologize because we're in part four of a sermon right now, but I hope it'll be good. But if you would like to hear the first three parts, they are all available free of charge online. Go to rockvalleychristianchurch.org. That's .org, rockvalleychristianchurch.org. If you do not have access to the internet, if you let Scott Sharpen know, because I'm delegating right now, he will be glad to make you a copy, or find somebody like Brad here who laughed the loudest to do it, and they'll make you a copy of the sermon. You can have a disc. But this is the forgotten commandment we're talking about the commandment, the only one that God said to remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, last week, we finished up in the book of Ezekiel, and I'd like to start there today. So turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. If you do not have a Bible, and you would like one, because we go through verses here. If you would like one, just raise your hand and we'll get you a Bible right now. And by the way, if you want to keep the Bible, it's a free gift. You can take the Bible with you. Okay? You need to talk to your dad. He'll get you a Bible. No, but if you need a Bible, it's good to go through the Bible, read it for yourself. So, I love Kyle's. Pick on him. All right. So we're going to turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament. Ezekiel is one of the major prophets. Just pick up this verse here in verse 16. God was saying how He had brought the children of Israel back into captivity, back into bondage, why they were not pleasing Him. And He said that they had, in verse 16, they had profaned My Sabbaths. This is God speaking. They profaned My Sabbaths, for their heart went after idols. Now, we talked last week about what it is, what the instruction is. We have the Sabbath don'ts. Don't work. Don't do your own ways. Don't do your own pleasure. Don't speak your own words. But what should we do? Rest. Keep the Sabbath holy. Delight in the Sabbath. Delight in God. Honor God. Assemble with believers and God. And give rest to others. All these things that we covered last week. Ezekiel 20, verse 16. So all these things we talked about last week, we're building on a message that God wants us to understand, that God wants us to have, that as believers we see what not to do, but also, more importantly maybe, what to do. Because let me ask you this, if they profane the Sabbath by going after other gods, other idols, then wouldn't it be reasonable to consider that you would keep the Sabbath by going after God? Would that be a reasonable conclusion? If you profane it by going after other idols, would you be keeping it then by going after God? And really, as we started to look at what God would have us do, this is the thing that we saw. Is our attention on God? The Sabbath was a day given of rest by God from creation, a day to remember something, to remember your Creator, to remember your Savior, your Deliverer, your Rock, your Salvation, to remember God, a day given to God, to put your heart and mind on Him. Now let's turn back to the book of Nehemiah here, because Nehemiah was written at a time after the captivity. Now, we talked about Nehemiah a few months ago, a couple interesting sermons. Again, you can find those on rockvalleychristianchurch.org. But in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah had gone back to rebuild Jerusalem after the time that they had gone into captivity. So remember, God says, you went into captivity because you weren't keeping My Sabbaths. You were profaning them. And you were keeping My judgments and My statutes. You were going astray from Me. So He put them into captivity. So here is Nehemiah, after Cyrus's decree in about 539 BC. Here he goes back in to build Jerusalem. And after they build the walls, they build the city and strengthen it up. Notice what happens here in chapter 13. Nehemiah says, remember Me. This is Nehemiah chapter 13, and verse 14. Nehemiah chapter 13 and in verse 14 says, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services." Okay, so Nehemiah is being asked to be remembered by God. For what? What did he do? Verse 15, "Well, in those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and I said, 'What evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath? Did not your fathers do this? And did not God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath.' So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. And I warned them and I said, 'Why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I'm going to lay hands on you.' And from that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, should go and guard the gates and sanctify the Sabbath. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy." So Nehemiah was saying, we've got to have obedience. We can't be doing business on the Sabbath. We've got to stop working. 6 days you shall work and do your labor. The seventh day you shall rest. But what he was saying was people were working. They were ignoring it. And he's, why would you do this? Don't you realize what happened to us? Now Nehemiah was showing a right kind of indignation when you say no to disobedience to God. But as we ended with last week, there can be a flip side of this. There can be a flip side of this, where it goes past obedience into rules, into legalism about what you can and cannot do on the Sabbath. And that is where we find Christ about 500 years, or a little less after this time that we're reading about in Nehemiah. Society has gone on. Rules have been put in place. There are laws about how far you can walk, about what you can carry, about what you can do, what burdens you can have on the Sabbath day. And as Jesus comes in the flesh and comes on the scene, he finds that as he is keeping the Sabbath, because we know Jesus never broke a law of God, never broke one of his own commands, he was being accused himself of sinning. So let's turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we'll pick it up here in verse 1. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 1. "And at that time," this is Matthew 12 verse 1, "at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" What were they doing? They're harvesting grain. They were picking grain on the Sabbath. And here, people are looking at them. They're saying, they're breaking the Sabbath. They're judging. Now, Exodus 34 and verse 21. You don't have to turn there. Don't turn there. I'll just read it to you. It says, "6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest time you shall rest." So there was actually a specific law that they were thinking of when they see the disciples plucking grain. Because they were told, even in the harvest time, even when you want to get the crop in, even when you want the grain to come in, you better not be harvesting it. Now, notice what Jesus said. Verse 3, "And he said to them, It's Matthew 12, verse 3. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Only they were allowed to eat the bread. Only they were allowed to have that showbread. Verse 5, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? How do they profane the Sabbath? They're working. I love you guys. This is a great service, but it's kind of work, isn't it? I'm up here playing guitar, preparing a message, giving a message. In a way, it's a kind of work, isn't it? Working. The Levites were working, and they were defiling the Sabbath, but they were blameless before God. David went in and it said, do not eat the showbread. It's only for the priest. But David and his men ate it. They were so hungry. They took and they ate. And notice verse 6, he says, so I say to you, in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now this is a very powerful teaching. And this is a teaching that comes from Christ that captures really what is the essence of understanding about this day. And all the teachings of Christ are hitting the spirit of the law. We covered last week, what does it say in the letter, and how do we begin to see the Spirit? And we started to see these things. But what Jesus is showing is realize something about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day of fixed and unyielding rules. It's not. God is looking for you to have discernment, as He does. Why was it okay in God's mind for David to go in and eat the showbread? It was against the law. Why was it okay for the disciples to go through the grain field and pluck? Why didn't they just prepare for the Sabbath? They should have done that. They were Jesus' disciples. Why did they go through and pluck the grain and eat it? And Jesus said, they're blameless. There's no guilt here. Why is it that the Levites can work on the Sabbath and it's okay? Because all of it has to do with fulfilling a higher law that this day is about. If the Sabbath command is given and kept as a day of rules and regulations, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, you will miss the whole point of the beauty of the gift that God has given to each of us who believe in His Word and who believe in Him as our great Creator and our great Savior God. This day is such a blessing and a gift when we see it with the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ. When we see what it is that God is thinking. Why did He give us this commandment? Why is this commandment so important? Because He wants us focused on Him and He wants us focused on others. The focus. Delight in God. Honor God. Assemble with believers in God. And give rest to others. The Sabbath was being turned into a day of idleness by rules. Where work that would serve or show mercy to someone was being looked at as a judgment of sin. Now we're going to see this more develop, but I want you to get this point. It wasn't Jesus who was accusing His disciples. It was the Pharisees who were judging them in a spirit of what? Condemnation. Looking for fault. Looking to put down. Looking to condemn. And Jesus is looking at His disciples being hungry and seeing them going in and plucking the grain and eating it. And He's saying, Isn't that a merciful thing? They're hungry. They're involved in the work. They're following me. They're my disciples. They need some food to eat. He's looking at it from a standpoint of, what do my disciples need? How can I serve them? How can I help them? How can they be relieved of this hunger that they have? He wasn't thinking of the Sabbath in the terms of the rules according to the law. He was thinking of it in terms of mercy and goodness. This is the key to really entering in to God's way and how to keep the Sabbath. It's a day of goodness. Let's continue on here. So they're in the grain fields, Jesus and his disciples. Now, verse 9 of Matthew 12, when they had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Well, why did they want to accuse him? I think of Jesus. Did not sin. He is the living law of God before them. God in the flesh, showing how to live by this word. In every way, in every intention of God, here he is living in the flesh, and people are looking, trying to judge him for what he's doing. It's amazing when you think about it. But it says something about a heart of judgment that we must be aware of in all of ourselves, that we do not let this creep in to our honoring of God. Notice here in verse 11, he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the others. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Wow. Because they were more concerned about his working than they were about his healing. The Sabbath is a day of doing good. The Sabbath is a day for healing. The Sabbath is a day of salvation and mercy and lifting up. And if work is required along the way, Jesus says, that's what's natural. That's what you should do. Now think of what somebody might say if somebody's out there with his sheep. The sheep gets away, gets caught in this ditch that Jesus is talking about. And you see somebody out there with their flocks and doing all this work and getting them out of the pit. You might easily look and say, why is that guy out working on the Sabbath? And Jesus said, wouldn't you do that? Why would you take the sheep out of the pit? What'd you say?
They'll die.
They'll die. It's unmerciful, isn't it? Wouldn't that be an unmerciful thing to do? Well, I can't work on the Sabbath, poor sheep. You're just going to have to stay there. I hope you're alive when I come back. Do you see how the higher law of God takes over when you enter into the rest of the Sabbath? God has this day as a test commandment. Remember? It's a test commandment. But what he is testing is something in us, something of our hearts, something of our minds that goes beyond the written letter and goes to a heart that is within us. Will we stop our work, our pleasure, our ways, our desires? And will we put our lives and attention onto other people? What did John say in 1 John? He said, how can you love God who you can't see if you can't love your brother who you do see? Jesus is saying, this is so natural and normal. How could you condemn me for wanting to give relief and healing to a person that is in need on a Sabbath? My friends, that is the perfect kind of work. That is the perfect delight of God, because the focus is according to the commandment when we understand it in the Spirit, giving rest to others. He said, what do you say? You shall not work. Not you, sons, daughters, right? Manservant, maidservant, give rest. Give rest. But sometimes to give rest, you have to work. sometimes to give rest, you have to do work. But it's not the work for yourself that's being done. It's the work of love for God and for others. You see where Jesus is taking us? He's saying there is this higher love, this higher way of living that goes beyond the letter into a spiritual walk where you now have dedicated time to loving God and loving others. Let go of your toil. Let go of your own works. Let go of your own ways and whatever you're doing, and use this time for God and others. And as we talked about last week, when you do that and you practice that, it's like training that carries over. You know, when you go to get training, right, you get trained in a certain skill. Training might be intense, but that intensity of training carries on. It's the same with the Sabbath. Focusing on God, focusing on others. What happens is, in life, I hear people complain all the time, well, people, the neighbors just aren't the way they used to be. People just aren't as friendly as they used to be. People just don't take time the way they used to. It's everything's so busy, everybody's so rushed, everybody's so out of control. Yes, they are. How do you stop the madness? Rest. Take your rest. Stop. Breathe. God loves you. God's awesome. God's the Creator. God's the Savior. You worship Him. You enter into His presence. The day is a delight because you're delighting in Him, as He tells us to do. And as we delight in Him, when you see someone in need and you're delighting in God, the natural love that you have for God carries over to that person. That's why when Jesus comes in judgment, He says, hey, as much as you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to Me. As you relieve their burdens, it's as you relieve My burdens. You give them drink. You give them food. You heal them. You help them. You build them up. You restore them. God's saying, it's like you're doing it to Me. Because your mind is off yourself, your own labor, your own toil, your own ways, and it's put on God. And this, my friends, has the making of what makes the kingdom of God so awesome, is that we will come together as believers in the great God in service to other people. It is our motivation and heart. That is why love is the best way. This day is focused on love, the training of love for God and for others. If we just stop working, if we just try to endure a 24-hour period without working, I guess I can't, you know, do what I want to do. We're not going to grow. It's not going to develop in here. We're going to be just like the rule keepers that say, hey, you're working, cut it out. Those people were out working, harvesting the grain on the Sabbath day. But if we are not judging, but rather saving, being a part of the salvation process, the building up, the edification, then something gets changed in our heart. This is who God is. This is how God's going to make us in His image, in the image of His Son. He's going to do it by causing us to stop and focus on Him, to give ourselves to Him in service and in worship. Turn with me over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, and we'll pick it up in verse 10. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. Luke 13 and verse 10. Now this is speaking of Jesus. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay? Where's Jesus? He's assembled with believers in God. Right? He's not forsaking the synagogue. It was His custom to be there on the Sabbath. So we've seen Him in the grain fields. We've seen Him in synagogues now. Luke 13 verse 10. And behold, verse 11. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Ah, perfect Sabbath experience. You're loosed. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," right? To free captives, to heal the brokenhearted, to release those who are bound in prison, right? To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is perfect Sabbath stuff. Verse 13, "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." His giving her healing caused her to be straight, and what does she do? She glorifies God. More perfect Sabbath stuff. This is good. This is delightful in the eyes of God. Here is Christ healing somebody so they can worship God and give Him praise and glorify Him. This is the work of the Sabbath. But notice what happens. Verse 14, "But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation." He's ticked. What's going on in my synagogue? "Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day.' The Lord answered him and said, 'Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water?'" Wouldn't you think that's natural? How many of you have pets? What if you just said, "Hey, I'm not giving any water or food to you today because I can't work"? Would that be the right thing to do? Of course not. It's because you see a higher law there, don't you? If your animal is not eating, they're going to be hungry. They're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in pain all day because you won't work. God says, "Guys, this is common sense. You, of course, would give mercy to your animal. And if they're tied up in a stall, wouldn't you loose them so they can go get something to drink and some food to eat? Of course you would." So verse 16, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound..." Now think of it. "For 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Of course. There is a spiritual essence. Just like in every law of the commandments, there is a spiritual essence that we must understand. See, if I can prevent myself from murdering anybody in this room, I've kept the letter of the law. Correct? But have I necessarily kept the spirit of it? Maybe, maybe not. You don't know. If there's hatred in me for someone, the answer is, I might not have done it in any way you could see, but in my heart it was not right. The Sabbath has a spiritual essence to it that goes way above not doing the physical work and not doing your own ways. The spirit of it is, are you resting in God and being about your Father's business? It's a day of delight, a day of help when you can take all of your energies and all your attention and put it onto God and put it onto others for healing, for mercy, for building up, for edifying. That this is the day that is separate from the day of man and seeking after self. It's the day of seeking after God and what God delights in and what gives Him pleasure. My friends, you realize how powerful this is? How powerful it would be to get a society, a community, participating in this? I dare say no more would people lament that there are people in old folks' homes never being visited. Somebody would be driving by and they'd say, "You know, there's people in there. I should go visit them. Somebody needs help or healing. I know they're shut in. They can't even get out of the house. I know they're hurt. They need some food or a meal." See, there is a work that is done on the Sabbath. The work is done in us. Now, hold your place here in the New Testament. Turn back with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Going to the commandment. Exodus chapter 20. second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. It's on page 65 in my book. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, separate or distinct. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, not you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant. Notice this verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, God goes a long way with this commandment. It's the longest written commandment of the ten. God wants us to remember He's the Creator. We remember that in 6 days He made the heavens and earth. Has God stopped creating? What is God's new creation today? Anybody have an answer? Shout it out. Us! Carolyn Sharpen, you win the prize. That was quick. You, my friends, we together are God's new creation. How is God creating in us? When we stop and remember the Sabbath day, there is a work that God does, even in the rest that's taking place. Because when we stop and rest, when we keep it holy, when we delight in it and in Him, when we honor God, when we assemble with believers, and when we're out giving rest to others and doing what is good, something is being created within us that the world doesn't experience because it's so busy toiling every day, not stopping to rest, always busy with something. They never come into the full appreciation for what God has provided, which is this quality time that will impact all the 6 days of work that come after it and all the 6 days of work that lead up to it. There's something about the rest that He wants us to have. And that's why He blessed and sanctified a day. He's creating in you. We think that to be creative, we always got to be working. Sometimes the greatest creative works happen when you're resting. To think, to meditate. You see, when you stop working, you have that time. You know, I'm busy with work. I'm very busy on my 6 days. I'm working. I'm providing for my family. I'm serving people in my job. I'm bringing God to them in a way of example. But the thing is, today I'm not thinking about produce. Today I'm not thinking about my restaurant clients. Today I'm not thinking about the work that I have to do. Today I'm thinking about God. Today I'm thinking about Him and what He's doing. And as I start to take this time to meditate on what God is creating in me, it makes me a helpful companion to God in the work He wants to do in my life. Because I'm thinking about, I'm not here to make sure the produce is right at the restaurants I service. I'm not here to make sure that the bills are paid. Though these things of work are good and they're part of the commandment. But I've got to get my focus right so that when I go back to work tomorrow, my focus is right. Because I've taken the time, I'm allowing God to remind me, why am I here? I'm here for Your work, God. I'm here for what You're creating, God. I'm here to be a new creation. My business will all be gone someday. My house will be gone. The food we ate, gone. All of it, gone. But God will remain. And I will remain with Him. And everything else of my life must be subject to that perfect will, to that perfect plan, to that perfect creation. That is why we need Sabbath rest. We've got to come back to God. We've got to get back to the Bible. We have got to get back to the Lord God who made us, who reigns in us, and who wants to create something in us that will last an eternity. The character of His Son, Jesus Christ, within us. We look at Jesus' example and teaching because He's our Lord and we want to do it like He did. He who abides in Him ought to walk just as He walked, as it says in 1 John 2. I want to do it like Jesus did. That's why we seek the gifts of the Spirit, right? To provide healing, to provide blessing. When the people come in and are lame and hurt, we want to be praying for them. And God, sometimes, boom, heals them. And sometimes He says, no, you're going through. But either way, we know God's love. And we will share God's love, whether the burden is immediately removed or not, because we are the instruments of His mercy. We are the instruments of bringing help to others, by which they, in turn, will thank God and glorify God. That's what we do. That's how we enter into this rest. Now, notice this in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5, again, it's the longest commandment as it's written. And when it comes to giving the commandment in Deuteronomy 5, God does a change up on us. Now, instead of talking about Him as Creator, He gives us another reason why. Why do we keep the Sabbath? Deuteronomy 5, and in verse 15. Deuteronomy 5, and in verse 15. So this is the point in the commandment where God said, you know, for in 6 days God made the heavens and earth. Here in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5, He says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. And therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Remember, you were a slave. Now, you can say, "But I've never been a slave. I was born in the United States of America. I've been free my whole life." See, God did not come and send His Son to give us the freedom of the United States, so we're thankful for it, and we love the blessing of it. God came to free us from sin, from slavery to sin and death. Now, when you think about the fact that God has freed you from sin and death, that He has opened up a path of forgiveness and life, that He, if you've come to Him and been baptized and received His Spirit, that you are on a path to glory with God. When you realize the freedom of life and mind, to realize, hey, this is a whole big rat race based on lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. It's greed and selfishness is the way of the world. But God has called me to a life of love and service and goodness because He knows this is the way. You celebrate that freedom. Do you think it's interesting that the first command that God gave when He tested the Israelites in the wilderness, when He had delivered them from slavery, He gave them the Sabbath? You get the day off. Celebrate God. Celebrate your freedom. And when you rejoice in that freedom every week, remembering, "I was a slave and I'm free. God, thank you that I'm free. Praise God that I'm free. I want everybody to be free. I want people to know the freedom that is in Christ Jesus that this world can never offer." My friends, there is a hunger in this world for something deep, for something real, for something of God. There is a hunger in mankind. There is a restlessness and a toil that comes from being in slavery to sin and to death, that mankind is searching for the rest, for the peace, for what God offers. So when we see Jesus talking to this woman in Luke, and talking to the people that would accuse Him, to accuse Him of breaking the Sabbath is so far from what the Sabbath was about. They missed the point completely. Healing her was the best thing He could do. He had the power. He had the gift. He made her well. He showed her mercy. And He shows us that we should be looking at others, thinking about others, seeing how we can build up others. That's why assembling with believers and with God and giving rest to others is an essential part of this command. To show mercy, to show goodness. It's not just about shutting yourself up in your house and being idle. You've missed the point. It's focusing on God and others. That's why it's so beautiful when people go, you know, come here to worship God and celebrate, go to each other's homes, break bread together, share food together, write a letter to somebody who's in need, write them an email, send them a gift, go visit somebody, spend time with your family, focus on your kids, let them know they're your delight. Because sometimes we get so busy in this world, We don't have the time, the dedicated time to say, you're important. To build relationships and friendships in a godly way. See, when you really think about what the Sabbath's about, you think, man, I don't know if I have enough time. 24 hours is it? I got a lot of people I want to pray for. I got people that are on my mind. People I know that could use help. People I know that could relieve their burdens. Now, it's not just a day of being busy. Don't ever forget it begins with the rest in God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Mark 2 and verse 27. Jesus said, Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. When God thought of this and did this, when He blessed and sanctified it, He made it thinking about you and me. But He didn't make us so that we could keep rules on the Sabbath. That's not why He made it. He didn't say, I made the Sabbath, now I'm going to make people because I want them to keep the rules of the Sabbath. So see, we'll miss the point if we think that way. And sometimes we do that. We start making rules, right? We start using our discernment and saying other people have it. Do you notice how general these principles are? These are principles of life that allow for judgment. Discernment of your exercises spiritually. Now, here's where you'll go astray. If you're trying to figure out, what can I justify so I can do this? Yeah, you messed up. But guess what? Every commandment goes that way, doesn't it? Isn't that everything? So see, I'm not David Liesenfeld, pastor, police officer of the commandments. That's not my job. My job is not enforcement. My job is instruction. Your job is submission to God, not to me. Your job is to submit to the principles that direct this life of ours. That we are directed and guided in the ways that would please God. We have to be sincere about this and look, okay, here's this, and here's what God would have me do. How do I use my time to do this? It's not going to be the same every week. It might be different than you. Maybe something that I find justifiable, somebody else doesn't. What if the disciples were going through the grain fields and the Pharisees saw it and they just said, I usually don't do that, but you know, maybe they're really hungry and they need something to eat. Maybe their attitude toward those people shouldn't have been to condemn them, just to maybe note it and say, oh, Jesus and His disciples are going through the field. Maybe to wonder about something instead of to making a judgment about somebody else. I know people that eat out on the Sabbath and people that don't. Because some would say, hey, you're causing somebody to work or you're doing business. You shouldn't go do that. Others might say, but we could be having giving rest to others and fellowshipping together. That might serve a higher purpose than whether or not we go out. See, I will leave that decision to each of you. Because God chose you could go and do work when you went through the grain field to get food. Who am I to judge something like that? Here's the thing about when you start entering in and say, what is work? What is not work? What is keeping the Sabbath? You realize you start entering into this realm of rules, we're going to be in trouble. And I will refuse to let it happen. My hammer will drop hard. It's only time it will. Because we're here to have our hearts developed in serving God and serving others. This is the function. Why do you do what you do? Why would you do work? If there was an earthquake outside, right, or here right now, if there was an earthquake, and there was a building that collapsed, and we saw it happen, should we say, Sabbath? I'd really like to help those people, but I can't work, and that looks like heavy lifting over there. I know none of you would say that. But my point is, the work is so secondary, it doesn't matter, because the spirit of the commandment completely overrides the physical work. I'll work all day to help those people, and you will too, because it's the right thing to do. It's of God. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Scott and Carolyn, can I pick on you for a second? Scott and Carolyn helped build this fellowship. They said, we want to be supportive of you if you want to start teaching and have a church. They drove from Orange County an hour every week to be here because they were living on the other side of the mountains, and they've been converted now and they live closer. But they drove an hour to be here with us, two families, because they believed in something and they were dedicated to something. So they drove the hour. Was that like work? Yeah, I would say it was. That was tiring for you guys to do that, right? And guess what? Going out to eat, we were conducting a little business sometimes because we didn't always have the food. Sometimes we went out and we ate out on the Sabbath. It wasn't a judgment about that. It was so right. They needed food. They were hungry. They should eat. No questions asked. Because their service was to help establish a fellowship that worships God and keeps the Sabbath. But now, when Jesus was saying, hey, the disciples, you wouldn't be condemning them for going through the grain fields. Did that mean, hey, new rule, everybody go out and harvest every Sabbath? You can harvest your fields during the harvest time. Was that what Jesus was saying? Or was he saying, make an exception for mercy's sake? There's a judgment and discernment. I have friends who will do certain things on the Sabbath that I won't do, and I have friends that won't do certain things that I will do. And it's best that I don't judge them and they don't judge me, if our hearts agree with this. Because this is where the obedience is, right here. Now let me tell you what I think is delightful. And there are no rules that I would give you, but let me give you some examples of things that I think are delightful. Because I get asked, well, how would you keep the Sabbath? Let me give you a winter Sabbath day, because winter Sabbath is one of my favorites, because Sabbath starts early on a Friday night. I think it's great to have a nice meal with my family. It's one of my favorite things when we come together as a family, and Stephanie, a lot of times, we'll do it in the dining room, and it's a special time that we sit around the table, and there I am with my family. They know that I'm interested in them. I get a chance to converse with them and show them love. And we do dinner every night anyway when we all can, but that Sabbath, I'm there every Sabbath for that meal. And then as we finish and we're laughing and talking, crack open the Bible and do a little Bible study, a little Bible reading, teaching the family, being together. Maybe we'll do a song of worship. Maybe we'll pray. Maybe we'll play a game. Maybe we'll just rest and go to bed early. Maybe we'll just do some reading. Maybe get an extra hour or two of sleep. Get some extra physical rest. Stop the work. Maybe you're tired. Wake up. Praise God. Worship God. And think about how you can serve God and serve others with that day. Because you have no responsibility to this world or to your work. God has said, I'm going to provide for you. How can I serve others? How can I think and help other people today? Whether it's by worshiping, whether it's by coming, whether it's being supportive of others, whatever it is, how can I help? And to realize that if the day just falls into idleness, we're going to be back in the letter and we're not going to be hitting on what God would have. The Sabbath is not a day of idleness. It's a day of creativity, a day of freedom, a day of giving mercy, a day of doing goodness, a day of helping others. So we come here, and now we have time. We're going to end this service right now. I know I'm over time, but we're going to end this service, and we're going to go do things. Maybe it's going to be getting together to fellowship with others. Maybe it's going to be just spending time with your family. Maybe it's going to be building relationships with other people. It's open to you before God. Just keep these principles in mind. And don't use the principles to look at others and judge the way they're doing it. look at the principles from your own heart, in your own mind, in your own life, and say, how can I do this, God? Show me, help me, teach me how. Because if you're focused here on serving God and serving others, you will be entering into true Sabbath rest. That's where the rest will come from. The world thinks that by taking time off work and just doing your own pleasure, that you're going to find rest. That's not really true. The real rest doesn't just affect us physically. The real rest that we need is spiritually. Do you know how you get spiritual rest? Right here. You actually rest by doing God's work. By serving others, thinking of others, doing for others. Something happens to re-energize your spirit. Something is created within that gives you life. Essentially, it is love. The best way for me to rest is to love God, to love my wife, to love my children, to love my friends, to love the church, to love others. And as I have the opportunity to do good to all, that will give me real rest. That will give me real blessing. Because the toil of life and the dissatisfaction always comes from selfishness. And I'm not saying that all of this is selfishness, but it's turning away from your own stuff and thinking about God and others. That's where real life is found. That's where real delight is found. And that is why God says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It's distinct, it's separate, it's a gift to you from God because He loves you and He wants to be with you and have you be with Him, abiding in Him in the work that He does in the lives of human beings. So praise God, bless Him, let's worship Him, let's sing to our great God and give Him glory, and may our hearts and minds be attentive to His will.